I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. We continue our study now in the book of Ruth. We want to look today starting in verse 16. If you'll remember, Ruth had gone down to the threshing floor, and as she was there, it shocked Boaz as he was there, and he wasn't expecting her to be there, and it was dark, and he didn't know what was going on there for a long time. But notice in verse 16 that it says, and when she came to her mother-in-law, this is after Ruth was on the threshing floor, and after things had taken place there, and Boaz had sent her away with 6 measures of barley, according to verse 15, and she went to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. In other words, her mother-in-law knew who she was, but she was asking, what happened? What took place? And we see there an interested mother-in-law, because her question is not one of doubt, but one of wonder as what had happened. And Ruth tells Naomi everything that had taken place. Verse 17 says, and she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Of course, we're reading in Ruth chapter 3, verse 17 there. Well, there's a message involved here from Boaz. Boaz wanted Naomi to know that the work of a kinsman redeemer was not yet completed for Ruth. When you go back to verse 15, you see the number 6 there. Well, that is the number of incomplete or incompletion. It was not complete yet as to her being redeemed. And we keep reading here, and we understand that as we look at this, in verse 17, he says, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. This is another message. Go not empty means there is hope. He gave Ruth, he gave her something to take to her mother-in-law, and he says, take this, don't go away with nothing. There is hope. Well, next we see in verse 18, patiently waiting. Then said she, sit still, my daughter. This is Naomi, of course, talking to Ruth. It says, sit still until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Well, Naomi said to Ruth, sit still, be patient, because she knew the man Boaz had promised redemption. You know, we need to be patient with the Lord. Sometimes we get in a hurry and we run ahead of the Lord. And of course, as a human being, we often find ourselves doing that. But we need to learn to be patient and not try to get in front of the Lord, but let him lead us and let him guide us in the things that we are to do in this life for him. Well, now we go into chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, and we see here that Boaz speaks and the kinsman listens. Now, if you remember, you go back and you read the account here that Boaz was a near kinsman, but there was one who was nearer than Boaz. And so now we read in verse 1 of chapter 4 about this other kinsman. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. This is the one he spoke. He said, there's one nearer than me, and this is the man he's speaking of. And he says, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Well, we see here Boaz in the gate. And Boaz sat down in the gate, presenting himself publicly for all to see and hear. He was searching for the kinsman he had spoken of in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 12. And we keep on reading here, and Boaz waits and finally sees the would-be kinsman as he came by, and he wastes no time in getting the man's attention. He calls, ho, such a one. Well, the man listened to Boaz and sat down. Well, you know, I see here Boaz either did not know the name of the kinsman or his name, and it's not important. In other words, he said the name, according to the Word of God here, was not important because he's never named. We only know that he was a nearer kinsman than Boaz, but evidently his name was not important here. And in verse 2 of Ruth 4, it says, "And he took 10 men of the elders of the city," and this is Boaz now, "and he said, sit you down here, and they sat down." We see here the 10 men, and we learn that such a one was important. Boaz was important. Such a one and the elders of the city in verse 2 did what Boaz asked. Name or no name, as this man, we look at him, he had no name. Well, name or no name, all important to God. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," in Romans 10:13. And in fact, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, searches or looks for each individual to offer salvation, just as Boaz searched for the man with no name. Jesus, of course, is our near kinsman. He is the one who redeemed us, and we'll see more about that later on. Well, in cases of importance, such as matrimony, divorce, and conveyance of property, it was the Jewish practice in those days to have 10 witnesses. And if you'll read Deuteronomy 16:18 and also Exodus 18, verses 21 and 22, you'll see this. And of course, this is why Boaz said, "Sit ye here down," and he asked for 10 men to be witnesses. Well, in verse 3 of chapter 4 of Ruth, "And he said unto the kinsman," now this is Boaz once again speaking to such a one. "He said to him, Naomi," that is, "come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's." Well, this is the information provided, we see here. He's providing this near kinsman information. Boaz tells the kinsman that Naomi would be selling a parcel of land that had belonged to their kinsman Elimelech. Well, we're seeing a businessman here. We're seeing him sit down with another man, and they're conducting business. In Ruth chapter 4 and verse 4, "And I thought to advertise thee," Boaz says, saying, in other words, I thought I would tell you about this, "buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." Well, Hosuchawan said, "Okay, I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to redeem this property right." Well, the right to redeem here we see accepted by Hosuchawan. Well, and we keep looking here, and we want to know what did he mean, what did Boaz mean by saying before it's broadcast or before it's advertised. Well, he tells the kinsman he was there to advertise, or in other words, to let him know first about the sale of the property. Now, this could have, as we think of it, like the auction block, it could have gone up, I suppose. It could have been sold to the highest bidder. I don't know all of that. But I do know that these two men stood in line to be able to redeem this property. Well, now, we see that Hosuchawan says, "I will redeem." But here we see Boaz, the businessman. Boaz here was playing it cool. Boaz told the kinsman the truth about the parcel of land, and it seems almost without thinking, the kinsman said, "Okay, I will redeem it." However, Boaz was not finished telling the kinsman everything concerning the redeeming and buying of the land, because we read in verse 5, "Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance." In other words, he's saying there's more to consider here than meets the eye. Boaz says when you redeem the land, there are actually two people involved. Naomi is involved, of course, and there's also Ruth the Moabitess, whose husband, and this is Mahlon, had died in Moab. There was two people involved here. Boaz says Ruth is also part of the buying process. Well, why should Ruth be redeemed? Ruth needed to be redeemed to carry on the bloodline of Mahlon, of the family. And there were no other heirs of Elimelech besides Naomi and Ruth. And you read about this in Ruth chapter 1, verse 3, 5, and 14. We see that the men had died. Well, why should we be redeemed, you and I? Well, there are several reasons. And I'll mention only one here. Christ needs sinners that's us, to redeem, to be redeemed so that we can carry on the bloodline of Jesus. We need to lead others to Jesus, in other words. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of the sons. That's the bloodline of God, even to them that believe on his name. We many times start thinking, well, I'm saved. I'm not going to go to hell now. I'm going to go to heaven. But you know that we're actually saved so that we can carry on the bloodline of Jesus to tell other people about the hope of Jesus Christ, that knowledge of knowing that once we receive him or that other person receives him, well, they're going to go to heaven. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, it says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. And that's the bloodline. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Eternal life means never ending, doesn't it? Well, we keep reading here in Ruth, and we go to verse 6, and this such a one who Boaz is speaking to, we see that he's willing, but he's unable to redeem this property, or he's unable to complete the transaction. Verse 6 of chapter 4 of Ruth says, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my name or mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Well, we see the right here to redeem was unaccepted. The kinsman now says he cannot redeem. See, the kinsman, such a one in Ruth 4:1, as we read of there, he now realizes he not only would have to redeem Naomi, but he would also have to marry Ruth. And such a one has now given Boaz the go-ahead to redeem. The door is wide open now. Well, the 10 elders of the city had been witnesses to all that had transpired between Boaz and such a one. And in order for someone to be a redeemer, it is not only necessary for the person to be willing to redeem, but also to be able to redeem. And I thank the Lord today that Jesus was not only willing, he was able to redeem us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus Christ, the kinsman redeemer, the one who wants to redeem you, if you've never been saved, if you don't know him as your Savior, he wants to redeem you right now. Lord, come into my heart. I'm sorry for my sin. Save me today, Lord. I want you to be my redeemer. I want you to save me so I can go to heaven and tell others about Jesus. Tell others about you, Lord. If you are saved, you need to be telling others about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.